This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 19th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. It's almost the weekend, which means your evening plans might consist of kicking back on the couch, turning on the TV, and throwing on Minari or Promising Young Woman or Nomadland. Because until everything opens back up again, streaming a movie is kind of the only option you have. And that is showing up in the data. Streaming services have racked up tons of new subscriptions in the past year. And on today's show, our reporter R.T. Watson will join us to explain how that's changing how Hollywood plans to entertain us in the future. That's after these headlines. Earlier this week, we talked about how the new buzzword when it comes to the future of work is hybrid. But it looks like Google is doubling down on a return to the office. The company says it'll spend $7 billion this year to expand its footprint of offices and data centers across the U.S. It also says it'll hire at least 10,000 new full-time staff over the course of the year, positioning the search giant for what it expects to be a period of recovery in the U.S. after the pandemic is over. Like Google, the chat service Discord has also grown rapidly in the past year as demand for online communications options skyrocketed. Now, the company says it's hired its first chief financial officer, Tomasz Marcinkowski, the former head of finance at Pinterest. A person familiar with the matter said Marcinkowski's hiring is one of Discord's first steps towards a potential initial public offering. We should note, the company's co-founder and CEO said earlier this month that he isn't thinking about taking Discord public right now. U.S. safety regulators say they're investigating a crash involving a Tesla vehicle in Michigan. Police say the driver had the vehicle's advanced driver assistance program called Autopilot engaged when he plowed into a police car this week. It's the latest in a series of incidents that have heightened regulatory scrutiny of Tesla and its driver assistance features. Tesla didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. And the National Football League says it's reached several long-term deals with media partners, which significantly expand broadcasters' rights to air games on their streaming platforms, and which will make Amazon Prime the new home of Thursday night football as early as next year. A senior executive said Amazon's betting that the addition of exclusive football games will push more users to sample its original content, too. Speaking of streaming, subscriptions worldwide crossed a milestone in 2020, and that could shape the entertainment world even after the pandemic is over. We'll tell you all about it next.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
New data released by the Motion Picture Association shows that global box office revenue plunged by more than $30 billion in 2020. Meanwhile, the number of subscriptions to online video streaming services soared to 1.1 billion worldwide. That is a huge number, and potentially an inflection point in how we think about entertainment moving forward. And so for more on this, we turn to our reporter, R.T. Watson. He covers Hollywood for us. Hey, R.T., thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, so obviously this has been an atypical year with the pandemic shutting down most movie theaters. Is that the main driver of this trend?
No. Most people that I've talked to, you know, since the pandemic and certainly during a lot of these movie theater closures, have just stated that the pandemic accelerated a trend that already existed of people switching to streaming services. A lot of people obviously are cutting the cord, if you will, and canceling their cable subscriptions and instead signing up to streaming subscriptions. So you already had that move, that pivot going on. But with people forced to stay home, you just had more consumers looking to streaming services for entertainment. So there was maybe a bigger boost in the trend.
Got it. And so either way, you know, in the past year, there was this huge surge in demand for at-home entertainment options. How did that show up in the bottom lines for the various players in this industry? The studios, the movie theaters, the streaming companies?
Well, companies are adding revenue as they add monthly subscribers. But in terms of major Hollywood studios, which have relied on theatrical revenues for several decades, it hasn't been a win-win. I mean, they've lost tons of money with the movies that they either didn't release, that they had hoped to release, like Disney's Black Widow or the latest Fast and the Furious movie, F9. These are movies that, you know, could make in excess of $1 billion at the global box office. So they didn't have those movies come out. They didn't have that revenue come in. So they're adding new revenue with the streaming services, but it hasn't, I think, reached a point certainly where they're making up for all those losses. And they're not making so much money yet on their streaming services where it's okay that they're losing money on theatrical. So the bottom line for major Hollywood studios, at least not necessarily Netflix, who doesn't count theatrical as part of their model, they're still suffering massive devastation because theaters have been closed. So they're looking to this year and hoping there's going to be a big rebound in movie going and people will continue to sign up for their streaming services.
Yeah, and on that note, some movie theaters are starting to open up again, and we're expecting more to follow suit as, you know, vaccines continue to roll out and the economy continues to open up. But these platforms have amassed huge user bases in the meantime. How is Hollywood thinking about movie releases in the post-pandemic world?
I think they know about as much about the future as we do. I mean, they don't have a crystal ball. So here in the U.S., one thing that's important to realize is that avid moviegoers are really the lifeblood of the industry. Roughly speaking, I keep hearing that about 20% of moviegoers make up for about 80% of the revenue here in the U.S. and in Canada, theatrical revenues. So, you know, maybe the pandemic forces more people to after the pandemic, more people will stay home and use their streaming services. But there's a good chance that the real frequent moviegoers that, again, sort of prop up this business will go back to the movie theaters. It'll continue to be a lucrative business model for Hollywood studios. But because we're only going to see some of these big releases maybe coming around mid-year, May, July, we don't know how many people are going to go back to theaters. We might not know sort of the long-term impact of the pandemic and the massive signups of streaming services, how that impacts movie theaters. We might not know that until next year or the year after.
And so are they building these streaming platforms into a larger part of their strategy moving forward?
Oh, yeah. And that's something we've reported on. These major Hollywood studios are focusing leadership efforts in terms of what they're producing, strategy. Everything is sort of coalescing around their streaming service. That's becoming the core of their business moving forward. So that's certainly going to impact how they choose to deploy their resources, what they choose to create. There's a lot of experimentation, or has been a lot of experimentation during the pandemic, but almost every studio is kind of trying something different. Disney put films like Soul and Mulan directly on their streaming service, Disney Plus, exclusively to attract new subscribers. HBO Max, which is connected to Warner Brothers movie studio owned by AT&T, they decided a while ago that they were going to release all their films that were set for theatrical release this year, both in theaters and in homes, exclusively at the same time. And that's never been done before. And then Universal Pictures has been experimenting with a model where they release movies in theaters, but then they have the flexibility after 2.5 weeks to put those films online as well. So everybody's kind of trying something different. And I think they'll, you know, as theaters come back online and movie going return, you know, people go back to the movies, we'll start to better understand what maybe model is working best.
All right. That's our reporter, RT Watson. Thanks, RT.
Thank you.
By the way, if you're like the college version of me, your relationship to the owner of your streaming accounts might be a little convoluted. I'm talking about using your former coworkers, fiancés, cousins' login information. For a long time, the streaming platforms turned a blind eye to such blatant password sharing. But now that the streaming wars are heating up, Netflix and other platforms are cracking down. They're starting to ask users to verify their identities through multi-factor authentication. Here's our reporter Lillian Rizzo with more.
The estimate that in 2019, $2.5 billion were lost in annual revenue for these companies because of people giving out their passwords and not getting their own accounts. And, you know, in the beginning, a lot of times these streaming services want more eyeballs. They want their shows to take off. They want everybody to talk about it. And so they don't care how they're watching. They just want them to watch. And now it's at this rate where Netflix is a mature streaming service, is the first big one. And we can't deny where it stands right now among the streaming landscape that's getting more and more crowded. And so now they're trying to figure out these other ways. And this is one experiment of how to possibly get more subscribers.
All right, that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. Thanks for listening and happy streaming this weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.